Kevin and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. It's like I was talking too fast there. Here on a Tuesday, joint practices are tomorrow. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So, did you see Will Levis's new commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, de mayonnaise. For his new perfume that came out with Hellman's mayonnaise. If you don't live on the internet, and I saw Mark Cuban said yesterday, 80% of Americans do not, as far as their day-to-day is concerned, live on Twitter. Mark Cuban said they didn't, so I'm going to assume that that's probably somewhat accurate, probably not 100% accurate, but maybe at least somewhat accurate, that 80% of Americans don't live on Twitter, so you probably didn't see this, but Will Levis has a brand new perfume, or I guess if it's a guy, it's cologne, a brand new cologne that's out with Hellman's mayonnaise. Take a look.
Try to define you, but you are the ingredient to your own success. Luscious, eggy, smell like greatness.
Will Levis, number 8, Parfum de Mayonnaise.
Apparently, it's $8 and it's sold out. Now, again, I'm not a marketing guru. I'm not trying to be cool on the internet guy. That's never been my thing. But holy crap, did that make me cringe. Oh, my God, did it make me cringe. And again, you know, I think this is all kind of a joke. It's probably to get people like us talking about it. Hellman's mayonnaise, Hellman's mayonnaise, Hellman's mayonnaise. Congratulations, Hellman's mayonnaise. And Twitter, for what it's worth, thought it was hilarious. And the Titans Twitter fan base was like, that's my quarterback in his mayonnaise perfume. But I got to say, I didn't like it. Again, it made me cringe because I'm the guy who last week criticized Caleb Williams for carrying a purse. And if I'm going to criticize another team's quarterback for carrying a purse, I'm going to criticize your quarterback who, again, not that I care about this, but it is a reflection of what people think, is the lowest rated starting quarterback, according to Madden Football, as we all learned yesterday, when people asked on the show in the text line, what did we think about Levis's Madden rating? So his reputation is that he is the worst starting quarterback in the league, or at least the perception of him is that. And then he does a mayonnaise perfume commercial. And look, I don't really give a rat's ass as long as Levis goes out there and lights up the scoreboard. And I don't think that doing a mayonnaise perfume commercial is going to keep him from lighting up the scoreboard or anything like that. But here's the deal with doing something like that that does bother me a little bit. If you don't play great, it becomes a massive joke. And whether Will Levis likes it or not, it's going to happen fast. And whether Will Levis likes it or not, that kind of crap has already cost him a fortune, because that's why he fell to the first or to the second round. Will Levis goes in the first round. If it's not for the taking selfies of himself, the mayonnaise in the coffee, the banana peel, the bull crap, he goes in the first round. I have no doubts about it. My gut is that all these football people are all straight-laced, and they see things like that, and it bothers them, and so it's already cost him money. I had a former general manager text me the day of the draft, and they said, in the second round, when Will Levis got picked by the Titans, I said, what do you think of this? And the former GM said, he didn't fall because of a toe injury. He fell because teams question whether or not he's all there. And I'm not questioning whether or not he's all there. But it is that 10% of him that just makes everybody cringe. And I know the text line's going to go crazy about all this stuff and about, Jared, you don't understand funny. You don't get it. You don't. You guys hated Will Levis before he was drafted to the Titans. You won't admit it, but Ian, you remember what that was like when I defended the idea of taking him at 11 overall. I said, look, I like his game. You know, I don't love him. I loved Anthony Richardson. I said, I don't love him, but I like him. I take him 11th overall. He's a first-round quarterback, and everybody, probably because he didn't go to UT, which is probably the number one reason, and then the cringe stuff, number two, every text and call we got was, no, he sucks. He's the worst. He's banana peels and mayonnaise and taking selfies. And it's like, why set yourself up for this? Like, I almost feel like a parent here. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, is the money from Hellman's mayonnaise to sells $8 perfume really worth that? Because if you're good at quarterback, you're going to get $250 million. And again, in this league, perception does matter. Everybody thinks the Jets are a clown show. That matters. That has a damaging effect on your brand and on what people think of you, on what if people want to play with you, if people want to use you as your quarterback, if owners want to give you big checks. It all matters. And I don't think, based off of what I know about Will Levis, that this weirdo mayonnaise endorsement is in any way going to affect him as far as football is concerned. I don't think it's going to. He probably spent one day doing the commercial. He probably looked at it and said, this is probably pretty stupid, so it is what it is. And he probably got a nice check. Again, nothing like what he's going to get if he's actually good at quarterback. But he probably got a nice check. I don't think his teammates will have any problem with this. I don't think they'll really do much except for have a quick chuckle. But if Levis doesn't play well this year, he'll lose all credibility and the benefit of the doubt. Remember when Baker Mayfield had that great rookie season in Cleveland? Which, by the way, Levis did not have a great rookie season. Now, I don't think that was his fault. And we're going to figure out over time if it was his fault, not his fault, team's fault, Vrabel's fault, whatever. But we'll figure that out. But Baker Mayfield had an incredible rookie season. And then all of a sudden he started doing Progressive commercials. And it became a thing where it was like, oh, here's Baker being propped up in front of everybody. And Baker Mayfield ain't worth a damn. And think about over the last couple of years how much work Baker Mayfield has had to do to restore his reputation. I don't want that to happen to Will Levis. And when it comes to the mayo and the, again, I see the jokes writing themselves. Football is an unforgiving game. And the one thing that people love to do is they love to tear down somebody that puts themselves out there. Again, we ranted for 15 minutes last week about Caleb Williams carrying a purse, and every single person either thought it was so ridiculously rude or laughed their asses off. By the way, I got called homophobic and misogynistic by Joe Rexroad, Ian, for my purse rant. I think that's a little over the top for old Joe, but again, is what it is. Maybe Caroline will include that tomorrow. I think Will Levis is a good kid. I think he's a hard worker. I think he's a good teammate. I think he's got talent. But then there's just that, that cringe. And I just want what's best for him. I just want him to succeed. And I don't want him to open himself up to, again, another piece of the puzzle of playing quarterback where all of a sudden he's getting ridiculed over something that is just so, so stupid. And so I saw that this morning, and again, I'm not mad at him. I'm not finger-wagging the, Will Levis, I think you should be ashamed of yourself for, I'm not doing that. And people are going to make it out to be like I'm not doing that. But it's like, why do this to yourself? Like, you're on the right path. Everybody in town thinks you can play quarterback. Your teammates love you. You've so far had an okay camp. The coach is all about you. And then you do things that, again, you're the butt of a joke because it is a joke. And people are like, what, you don't think it's funny? No, I don't think my starting quarterback being the butt of a joke around the country is funny. I don't. Maybe you do, but I don't. And I just, again, like a parent, like somebody who's on his side, I'm looking at this thing and, if you get drubbed by Chicago, think about this. If the Titans go into Chicago and beat the ever-living crap out of the Bears, how much fun are we going to make of Caleb Williams' purse? Trust me, I am going to make fun of Caleb Williams' purse. Now, look, Caleb Williams might throw for 400 yards on the Titans. I mean, it's possible. Who knows? I mean, I can absolutely see me eating my words on Caleb Williams' purse. But I also think about it from your standpoint. Like, if the Titans go to Chicago and they get drubbed, having mayonnaise jokes made all over the place, it's not something that you're going to be happy about. And think about all your friends that root for other teams. How many of you today got a text message of that tweet from your friends who root for other teams and are like, ah! They're not laughing with you, guys. But again, sometimes with Levis, as much of a hard worker as he is, as much of a good teammate as he is, as much of, and I don't know him that well, but when I sat down with him at the Super Bowl, I really thought to myself, I'm like, man, this is a good kid. He cares a lot. Like, this is, he needs to chill out a little bit. Like, you can, you know, again, I'm sitting right next to him, and this guy just played ping pong, and he's all wound all tight and all worked up and all whatever. But it's like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, this is a good kid. He cares. I don't want to see bad things happen. And I also know that being a quarterback, I don't care if you're 25 years old, which he is, being a quarterback means you're the face of a multi-billion dollar operation. Now ask yourself this. If you were the CEO or you were the most important part of General Mills, or, I don't know, again, I'm thinking of these massive, you know, Fortune 500 companies, Boeing. Would you want to make yourself the butt of a joke? Probably not. So again, I'm not mad at Will Levis. I think he's a good kid. I think he's a good guy. I think he's working hard to be a legitimate franchise quarterback, but he's not that yet. And I just think today is another one of those things in which everybody who thinks he's a fool will point to and say, ah, and I'd say, let's throw for 50 touchdowns before we start letting people laugh at us. That's all I ask. I just, let's not put ourselves out there and have everybody that knows us have to, yeah, well, you know, it's he's just being funny. Let's not do that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. I'm sure a lot of you want to weigh in on that, so we will get to that here on the program. And then coming up next, I do wonder, the cringe factor. Today proved that there is a cringe factor with Will Levis. And I do wonder how much that really matters. We'll get to that next in your phone. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
So I have a theory. Matt Jones is with us, Kentucky Sports Radio. I think Will Levis is 90% everything I want in a quarterback, 10% bozo. And I think it is Mike Vrabel's job to chisel away that 10% bozo. Now, I don't know Will Levis, so I don't know if it's 90-10, but do you think he has a personality that they could minimize that bozo-ness a little bit?
Can I change the word bozo to like 10% cringe? Okay, because that's what I think it is.
Yes,
I don't think he's a bozo. I don't think he's at all. I think he's very smart. He's one of the smartest players I've dealt with. He understands economics. He understands marketability. So I think he's a very, very bright dude. Probably one of the brightest players I've dealt with in my 15, 17 years of doing this. I think he's a little bit cringe in the sense that he tries too hard. He tries to – he takes it and says, okay, I can do X to get attention, so I'm going to do X plus 2, and that plus 2 is where he screws up.
Does today not seem like X plus 2 with the mayonnaise perfume.
It's like, hey, look, Levis got drafted, and he did his presence. Like, look, man, the mayonnaise stuff and the banana peel stuff and all of that. Like, forget about that. Like, that's over. I'm all football. And then he showed up to work every single day. And I think last year earned the respect of his teammates. And there was a lot going on last year, and I thought he handled it well, right? Like, he and Malik Willis seemed to have a solid relationship. He defended Malik when the fans booed him after he had his great game against the Falcons. And then he managed the situation with Tannehill. I thought he managed it very, very well. I think he earned a lot of people's respect. I mean, he had a QBR of 33, and everybody in town wants to call him Dan Marino 2.0. But then there's, as Matt Jones said, the 10% cringe, where it's like he's smart. He's a good kid. He's a hard worker. But then he goes out and he does something, and it's like, oh. And, again, the mayonnaise endorsement, that's one thing, right? Like, the last year he had a commercial where he was holding a press conference about how he had signed a deal for a lifetime supply of Hellman's mayonnaise. Good for you. You know, whatever. But this is like, you're trying really hard to be funny, but the people, as I said, they're going to laugh at you, not with you. My question is this, though. I don't think you can deny what Matt Jones said. And I saw somebody in the YouTube chat said, Jared called him a bozo. Yeah, I mean, this was last year when they drafted him, so this was before we had known him on a daily basis. And I did think that there was kind of a 10% bozo there, and that was what dropped him to the second round. And Matt Jones said, can I just say not bozo? You know, he's very, very smart. Can I say 10% cringe? Sure. And now that I've experienced Will Levis for a year plus, I think that everything he just said is dead on about Levis's personality, which takes me to the cringe factor. And I have a question that I don't exactly know the answer to, but it is, does that matter at all as far as football's concerned? Now, it definitely matters for Levis, because that stuff is why he fell to the second round. It wasn't a toe injury. It wasn't teams not needing quarterbacks. It was the extracurriculars. That's why he fell to the second round. And so it's already cost him millions of dollars. But that doesn't really matter, because it doesn't matter where you're picked, first round, second round. If you make it as a starting quarterback in the NFL, I mean, let's say he's the guy and he makes it. And again, not even superstar level, but he's the next franchise quarterback. Well, he's looking at 56, 57, 50, because Brock Purdy will sign. CJ Stroud will sign. Some guys who have also, like, already been paid but will be due to be paid again, they'll get paid again. So he's going to, by the time he's due, he's going to be looking at $58, $59 million a year. Dak will get his contract, and that will be north of $60 million. So I don't know how that, you know, completely, you know, changes the entire dynamic. But so forget about the money that he would lose if he doesn't make it, because, or from the second round, because if he makes it, he's going to make all the money in the world. But does it matter, you know, that it's kind of cringy and people can make fun of it? And does that matter as far as football's concerned? And the old saying in sports is, it's cool when you win. You know, Tom Brady's hawking Uggs boots, but he already had 3 Super Bowls when he started doing that. By the way, I don't even know if I can tell this story on the air, but I'm going to. So you know how Tom Brady, Ian, you know how Tom Brady was hawking Uggs boots?
I don't quite remember that.
So he did an endorsement for Uggs boots because I think Uggs was trying to say, we're not just for women, folks. And so he did an endorsement for Uggs boots, and everyone's like, ah! Well, he got every single person at the Patriots a pair of Uggs boots. So that means that Floyd Reese had a pair of Uggs boots. And apparently Floyd's son took him back, or took him to a department store and exchanged him for store credit. And so that's where the Tom Brady Uggs boots ended up from the Reese family. But again, it's like Brady won 3 Super Bowls when he had done that. So like, whatever. But
this is where, again, it's like, does this affect you? And I don't know, like, do his teammates sit there and think, like, God, this is so stupid. What are we doing? This guy hadn't done anything in the league. He's 3-6 as a starter. I mean, what are we? I don't think they will. But, again, it's only cool if you win. And so far he hasn't done that yet. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Will is going to kick us off here on the program. Will, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Jared, it is just a commercial. It's a simple commercial. It's not a big deal. It probably took them a day to film. It's funny. There's no reason to get worked up about it.
Well, I'm not worked up about it. I'm more worried about him than I am worked up as far as, like, the, again, this is not a finger wag. Thank you, Will. This is not a finger wag of a, you know, you shouldn't have done that commercial. You need to go to your room and focus on football. You need to, that's not what it is. It is more of a, hey, dude, I'm on your side, and I don't think this helps you. I think this takes people back to, you know, the preconceived notions they had about you. Again, the reasons they didn't draft you. And we have that Brian Callahan cut from when we sat down with him the day after he was hired. Because I sat down with Brian Callahan the day after he was hired, and it was literally the morning after he got hired, like 6 in the morning. I'm sitting down with Brian Callahan, and we talked about Levis. And this is a guy who knew very, very little about him before he took the job, and this is what Brian Callahan said at that time.
Did you get a sense that maybe that reputation's a little overblown?
That's what I felt. I felt like there was... it kind of got exacerbated with some of the stories from the draft, you know, the mayonnaise and the banana thing and, like, just kind of stuff that's silly and doesn't really matter.
Sure.
And I think that that's contributed to the perception.
I mean, he told you right there, like, yeah, you know, I mean, can you hear the disgust in his voice when he's talking about, yeah, the mayonnaise and the banana peel and the, you know, it's And so Levis works his butt off every day. We all see it. He works his butt off every day. His teammates love him. He wants to be great. I've said this 100 times. If wanting to be a great quarterback was all you needed to be a great quarterback, I don't know much about landscaping. But my gut is if you want to be a great landscaper, you can be a great landscaper. There's nothing stopping you. Quarterback's not as simple. But if wanting to be quarterback, a great quarterback, was all it took, he'd be a great quarterback. I mean, he really wants it. And then he does something like this, and it's like, oh, yeah, there we go right back to the mayonnaise and the banana peel and the stuff Brian Callahan said was weird. So is it a big deal? No, it's not a big deal. Playing football and being good at it, that's a big deal. And I don't think this is a distraction from football or anything like this, but I'm like, like, dude, like, do you really want to open yourself to that? And I think it's okay to have these discussions. 615-737-1025. A lot of you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025 here on the program. So we will do that. Let's talk, though, about FanDuel. Oh, by the way, this whole thing, and I'm a Levis guy, but this whole thing reminds me of something that we talked about a lot when it came to Levis in the draft. We'll do that next here on the program. FanDuel Sportsbook. I love FanDuel Sportsbook. And football is approaching, and it's time to get in on the action early this season. They have all kinds of favorite future bets, tons of player props like passing yards, touchdowns, rushing, receiving, and more. Also, great team markets like make the playoffs, win the division, Super Bowl, you name it, they've got it. And you can parlay together different picks for even bigger payouts. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. There's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and my official sports betting partner of the NFL. Just visit FanDuel.com/JGM to sign up and win today. That's FanDuel.com/JGM. Good luck. 21 and over in present Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issue is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after. See restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. A9. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Again, we are discussing Will Levis's cringy new $8 mayonnaise. What's it called? The perfume de mayonnaise?
Something like that, yeah.
That's what it's called. With Hellman's mayonnaise. Congratulations to Hellman's mayonnaise. You're going to get a lot of play out of this. You know, this is, because again, for the bro-y Twitter audience, it's like, oh, this is so cool, bro.
It was pretty funny.
I mean, I just, it made me cringe. Did it make you cringe at all?
I just like that he was willing to, like, make fun of himself a little bit. I kind of like that about him, you know?
Can we get to Corey Curtis's 4,000 yards first, though, before we start doing that?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, you asked Tavondre Sweat about all the offseason noise and all that kind of stuff. You just don't worry about that. You just do what you want to do and worry about that later.
I know, but perception in this league sometimes matters. Like, reputation, and it sometimes matters. And I don't like that.
Yeah, but he's already on the team now at this point. So
that's true. I mean, he's already lost the money that he was going to lose.
At this point, what else can you do about that? Nothing.
And I still don't know if it actually matters football-wise that he's got that 10% of him that's just so cringe. And that's the example of it there. Our phone lines are by WilsonCountyHunter.com. I did say I want to get to your phones. But I do think it's funny because I ask again, like, how much does this really matter? And I was thinking about this. This was the on-the-clock series that the Manning family did. Talk about just make it. Just talk about selling out to the bank. The Mannings. Nobody makes more money than the Mannings. Like, they are just. So the Mannings did a show for ESPN Plus 2 years ago called Path to the Draft. And on Path to the Draft, it was Hendon Hooker, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis, and they went to the Manning Passing Academy, and Peyton and Eli kind of gave their reports on those guys, and it showed them interacting, and Archie was the one who was in charge of it. And so this was Will Levis in the Q&A session with Peyton and Eli.
On Saturday, Will and our counselors got to ask Peyton and Eli for career advice.
What advice do you have on the marketing side and maximizing those opportunities while at the same time maintaining the notion of your mind's in the right place and you're a quarterback?
Look, trust me, I've done my share of commercials, right? No doubt about it.
You think?
But all right, okay. Now, there's a time and a place for all of it, right? But let's make the football the priority number one. You know, don't give anybody a chance to say, you know, I wasn't all in on football.
So I don't think anybody with the Titans would say Levis isn't all in on football, but Peyton's telling you, like, hey, don't open yourself up to this stuff. And I know you can get mad at me all you want because Big Bad Radio Guy had to point it out, but that's Peyton Manning who's saying that. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew says, show the text from the former general manager or it didn't happen, because this is how you treat Rand Carthon and his general manager. So for this, Ian, did I send you a screenshot of the text?
You did, yes.
And is it a former NFL general manager?
Yes.
And would you be willing to sign an affidavit to that effect?
That exactly what now?
That text is real and is it from a former general manager?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, take that, Andrew, in the text line. I will be willing to open it up and let them roll. Back to your phones here. Texter into the text line says, I thought the commercial was very, very funny. Far different than Caleb Williams' painted nails and purse. Don't be so uptight. The texter then says, he does need to back it up, though. See, I agree. But I don't want, where I sit, I'm like, I'm looking at Levis and I'm like, I don't want this to be a thing. I want you to be the best you can be. You know, like, just you. Don't set yourself up to be made fun of. I saw somebody in the YouTube chat said that he got paid $300,000 to do that commercial, which, look, I'd love to do a commercial for $300,000 too. I just did a FanDuel ad, and it definitely wasn't for $300,000. And so that's great. But at the same time, like, if you're good at quarterback, you're going to be making a lot more than $300,000. I can tell you that. Justin says, I think if Aaron Rodgers can be the diva that he is, Will Levis doing these little personality quirks and taking advantage of it in the process doesn't bother me. It's cringeworthy, but I have seen professional athletes do much worse. Do you really want to compare Will Levis to Aaron Rodgers? Because as much of a weirdo as Aaron Rodgers is, and I am going to read the Aaron Rodgers book, and I'm not much of a book reader. I am going to read the Aaron Rodgers book. As much of a weirdo and conspiracy theorist and narcissist and a-hole that Aaron Rodgers is, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever lived. And before all this happened, Aaron Rodgers proved to everybody that he was one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived. So, if Will Levis wants to go out there and go dominate and go do whatever you want, that's the rule of sports. Now, Antonio Brown probably took the do whatever you want a little too far. Although Antonio Brown is wiling out on Twitter right now, and it is kind of funny. Now, again, we talk about the laughing with you versus laughing at you. Sometimes I do feel like when it comes to Antonio Brown on Twitter, we're more laughing at Antonio Brown and the situation he finds himself in than we are laughing with Antonio Brown. But you go play well, you do whatever you want. That's how it works. But he hasn't done that yet. Again, Will Levis has a QBR in his career of 33. That's awful. Now, it's not his fault. At least I don't think it's his fault. But, I mean, come on now. Woof. One texter says, the irony of Jared Stillman saying someone needs to chill out is too much for me to take. He's literally making fun of being the butt of a joke. Guy says he's changing channels. I bet he didn't, by the way. But, yeah, I don't want my quarterback to be the butt of a joke. Is that too much to ask for? Like, I don't want my starting quarterback. This is my team. I love the Titans. I go to the games. I root for the Titans. I do not want my starting quarterback to be a joke. Like, that's what I'm talking about. And I think guys in that locker room, like, yeah, okay, ha-ha, he did the mayonnaise commercial, but if he doesn't go out there and dominate, it's like, you're my starting quarterback, and you're out there, and my friends are texting me like, dude, what is the matter with this guy eating banana peels? And it's like Matt Jones said, he's very smart, very good kid, hard worker, but then when it comes to getting attention for himself, he's like, okay, what can I do? And then he does what everybody else would do, plus two. And this is the plus two. And I do think that people will make fun of your quarterback. And I see how mad you get about his John Madden football ratings. So you're going to get mad about this if he turns the ball over in Chicago. And they're like, ah, mayonnaise. And it's like, I know how mad you guys will get. By the way, the amount of people that are texting into the text line that are saying it was cringy, I do think that there is, you know, something to that. One texter says, your argument is off base. Brian Callahan was upset with the media for airing the story 1,000 times to make Levis seem unserious. That was an effect by ESPN. That was an effect by ESPN to smear him, and that's why Brian Callahan was disgusted. I don't think so, dude. That cut we played of Brian Callahan was the day after he got hired, and the point Brian Callahan was making was, I don't have any preconceived notions about Will Levis. The things I've heard about him are that he's a hard worker and he's a good kid, and that the banana peel and the mayonnaise and the, you know, that coffee, you know, that's all just kind of bull crap. Don't worry about it. I didn't get any sense that Brian Callahan was standing up there saying, you know, how dare ESPN, how dare they do that? I don't think that's what they were. One texter says, he's out there making money. Is he supposed to be locked in his room and not take advantage of the situation? How is mayonnaise going to hurt his perception at all? Well, it's already hurt him. It's already cost him millions of dollars. I'm not telling somebody they can't do a commercial. They can't make money off themselves. They can't. I'm not saying that. But how many of these athlete endorsement commercials are them making fun of themselves, being the butt of a joke? And then the question has to be, how much of it is laughing at you and how much of it is laughing with you? And I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't want my quarterback to be a TikTok star. I don't. I don't want my quarterback to be the butt of a joke. It's like I ripped on Caleb Williams for wearing a purse the other day, or wearing, for carrying a purse on Hard Knocks. And most of you in the text line thought it was hilarious and thought, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, the quarterback carrying a purse. The amount of people that I think were offended by that was probably, I can say, sizable, but it existed. And yet at the same time, like, I didn't really care. Because it's Caleb Williams is setting himself up for that when he carries a purse. This is the same as that. If anything, I would argue that I'm just trying to kind of is the reality check here. And be consistent. You know, I'm going to criticize another quarterback. You criticize your own quarterback. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to weigh in, that's 615-737-1025. So there was something strange that happened with the Titans. And then the explanation of it, even stranger. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
No, not at all. I was I've taken back. Personally, I thought I didn't know what happened or what occurred, and you know, I let Rand handle that, but it came out of the blue. So we were all, you know, players and coaches were really, really kind of surprised by that.
You never had a conversation with him?
I text, called, you know, try to communicate, but to no avail.
And was that a competition stage there with him and Dylan and everybody else on that mix? You didn't decide on anything at that point.
Oh, no, gosh, yeah. No. We're still in that phase of evaluating now. That's what camp is for.
That was Bill Callahan today talking about Sadiq Charles. So the Titans, what was it, Tuesday of last week, we had the nerds, the analytic nerds from Sumer Sports in the studio, and all of a sudden the news broke that Sadiq Charles had decided to retire. And Bill Callahan was like, yeah, dude, we didn't know. We were shocked, too. The players, the coaches, everybody, we were all shocked. Have you talked to him? I tried. I tried calling him. I tried texting him. And he didn't pick up the phone. So Sadiq Charles, who signed for a one-year up to $2.5 million contract from Washington, they were probably going to give him the right guard spot, in spite of the fact that this is my observation, I think was kind of sucky. I thought he was terrible. And they were probably going to give him the right guard position, and all of a sudden he just decided, I think Brian Callahan said last week that football wasn't for him, and he just one day just quits and won't pick up the phone with Bill Callahan and won't text Bill Callahan back. And I'm sure a lot of you think, my goodness, what a furcocta situation going on with Sadiq Charles, and, you know, hey, I hope he's okay and all that kind of stuff. I have no idea. Like, I have nothing that tells me that Sadiq Charles is not okay, so I'll just throw a giant blanket over it and say, I hope everybody's okay. But I got to tell you, am I the only person that finds it at all disconcerting that the Tennessee Titans went into the season with a starting right guard who, A, wasn't very good in Washington, and B, is that much of a flake? Like, is it at all disconcerting that that's who they found? They gave a $750,000 bonus to. Remember, Chad Brinker talked about his AI cancer-curing model to find players, saying, hey, if we can save these owners $1 million or so, that's a lot of money for our team. Well, you just flush $750,000 down the drain on a guy that is that unreliable, was not good in Washington by any metric. And the two metrics I'm using, Pro Football Focus said he was terrible, and the Washington bloggers that watched the team play. Again, I Googled Sadiq Charles because when they signed Sadiq Charles, I'm like, I don't even know who this is. I'm like, who is this? And there was a Washington Commanders blog, like the SB Nation blog that covers the Commanders, that was basically the headline was something along the lines of, Sadiq Charles proved he was a bust this year. And that's who they signed. So they signed Sadiq Charles. I'm like, who the hell is that? And then I find, I'm like, okay, well, maybe it'll be a backup lineman, fight for a spot. We'll see. Well, nope. Just give him the right guard spot. So they give him the right guard spot, and within 2 weeks, he's like, yeah, I'm out. And won't even call or text Bill Callahan back? That's the guy they're banking on? And so now, they're stuck with Radens at right guard, and Bill Callahan is saying it's still an open competition at right guard, and the coach is only playing him 14 snaps in the preseason, and there's nobody behind him. Somebody make some sense of this to me. Where did they find this Sadiq Charles? Because, again, I can't imagine that they sat there and watched tape of every team in the league, which they are supposed to do, but that they watched tape of every team in the league and they said, him, when it came to Sadiq Charles. But even if they did, when it comes to adding players, everybody does homework. Everybody, you know, hey, what kind of guy is he? We need to get to know him. You know, hey, you coached him. What did you think of him? What did you this? That? For the guy to just walk out of camp? That's wild. And then the idea of Bill Callahan saying, well, you know, no, it's still a competition at right guard. Well, then maybe you should tell Junior to play the guy competing for that spot. Maybe play him a little extra so you can figure out whether or not he's going to be your starting right guard or whether or not you need to go off the roster to go get a starting right guard because there's nobody on the roster who is capable of playing right guard if it's not Radens. And the one guy who everybody's pumping the tires of, Andrew Rupchich, is playing left guard. So I got to tell you, that whole thing doesn't make a lick of sense to me. And I'll give Bill Callahan credit for telling the truth and saying, yeah, I've tried to text him, call him, but your guess is as good as mine. But it's like, can we have a better plan at right guard? Like, I mean, don't even get me started with the flake they've got at right tackle, the guy who's never available. But we got right guard? Goodness gracious. Speaking of flaky, non-reliable personalities, Ian, did you see what happened to Tyrre Tart today?
Oh, yeah. I think I saw he got released.
Tyrre Tart released by the Miami Dolphins. Now, if you get released this time of the year, it's probably one of two reasons. One of three. Number one, you requested your release, which does happen because a guy will see I'm sixth on the depth chart, and I think I can go somewhere else and go be fourth on a depth chart. So, you know, hey, let's go ahead, give me a release, and sometimes they do. Number two, you stink. You're the 90th guy, and they want to sign a backup long snapper to give him a look in camp, so in order to do so, they cut you. Number three, they don't want you around. You're a problem. It's only one of three reasons you get cut this time of the year. So when it comes to Tyrre Tart getting released by the Dolphins, I got to say, I don't know what happened to that guy. Because the Tyrre Tart, for the first 3 years that he was a Tennessee Titan, outside of the suspension he got when he stepped on that guy in 2020, outside of that, Tyrre Tart was a good player. He was a tough, physical, reliable. He won offseason worker of the year from Mike Vrabel. And then all of a sudden, Tyrre Tart enters free agency. The Titans give him an RFA tender, and so they pay him $4.6 million. He wasn't happy with it. He hires Drew Rosenhaus as his agent, and all of a sudden, it all goes off the rails. That's a shame, because Tyrre Tart, in my opinion, is a legitimate NFL player. Like, he's not some undrafted free agent Scarbini out of nowhere. I mean, this was a dude that when his head was screwed on straight, he played some ball. And this time last year, we went down to Minnesota and watched the joint practices with the Vikings. And this is when we were talking about how good the Titans defensive line could be with Simmons and Autry and Landry and Key and Tart. When we went down, Tyrre Tart dominated Garrett Bradbury, a first round pick, in the joint practices. I thought there was no doubt Tyrre Tart was going to sign like a 3-year, $32 million contract and was going to be a defensive lineman on some team. And all of a sudden, he gets released by the Titans, picked up by the Texans, deactivated by the Texans, not brought back, signed by the Dolphins, gone. What happened to that kid? So the Sadiq Charles thing, I'm wondering, what happened here? And with Tierre Tart, I'm like, what happened to that guy? Crazy. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. So now there are some more layers to the Hassan Reddick saga in New York, some of which I think are obvious, you know, some of which are just typical Jets. But also now we do know that if you want Hassan Reddick, there's a certain criteria you've got to get to. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.